Hey everyone, it's Phyllis here, and this call is about stress and how it keeps you fat. Hi Janine, Wendy, who else is on? A couple more people. Awesome. So, I was just explaining that my realization came for me last week. I was over in Sydney on a training course and then Brisbane, and everybody knows that I've had a pretty horrendous, stressful year. And, you know, we all at some stage in our lives experience it. But the accumulation came for me because I'm training to be a hypnotherapist, and we had two quite intense days where we were doing, you know, several hypnoses each day. And so it was pretty intense, got to learn a lot of things. But what happened was I'd come off a four-day one about business, which was great, and, you know, learning lots of new things, and then straight into the hypnosis, which, again, is pretty serious stuff, but you use a different part of your brain. So anyway, I staying with my daughter, and basically my body just said, hey, Phyllis, you need a rest. And, you know, it got me reflecting on how, you know, I've taken a backslide over these last couple of months, really this year, just because constantly I'm in fight or flight. And when you go through a traumatic experience that doesn't stop, you do get into fight or flight. And the problem with a lot of people is when they're in that situation, my choice is not to fight because I can't fight Mother Nature, and flight isn't a possibility. So constantly my adrenals are kicking and all sorts of things. So a number of you will relate to that because I know you've been through stressful situations. So bear with me. I don't want to bore you with my story. But you know that I'm always a work in progress, and I'm always applying what I know and learn, so that it's practical. Damien definitely is, you know, up there with the science and the knowledge, but, you know, we've got to take this and put it into our everyday lives. And, you know, when people are naturally slim, there's a whole set of behaviours that they already have that we need to introduce or bring into our lives. So, back to my story. I definitely realised that I was, you know, pretty exhausted, and I was almost running on empty, so my tank was pretty empty, which made me realise that the stress has actually been keeping me where I am. And although I'm still doing a lot of things and I know a lot of stuff, stress has a very negative effect on you. So you've got to think about what's happening in your life. So you've got a couple of choices. And what I realized is I went and actually had a session with somebody, and we talked about this. And one of the things that, you know, she talked about was recognizing my strength, my resilience, my focus, because, you know, to do all the things that I've managed to keep together over this year and still have no home, you know, is pretty incredible. And many people, it's not to say that I'm doing any more special than anyone else, but many people go through this, and you'll relate it to a different story. It won't be an earthquake, but it'll be something else that's put constant stress on you. So it does have a hormonal effect. So a couple of things I realise is that the thing I need to do is manage my attitude to what I can't change. So think about what in your life that possibly is happening that you really seriously cannot change. So what you can change is your attitude towards it. So think about, you know, how you could have an attitude change about it. Now, almost instantly overnight when I actually, you know, had an awakening for this, because I was waking up every morning with, oh my gosh, you know, I'm so drained, and every day knowing that I would be spending a couple of hours in the day on the phone to EQ, on the phone to insurances, trying to arrange this, trying to arrange that, just banging your head, and then knowing you've got to get on with your work day, and also you've got to somehow have some sort of social life as well. So again, many of you will relate to this. Tell me if it's boring you and I need to change tack. Welcome Annie onto the call, and I'm happy to, but I just want to set, this is why I'm setting up to where we're going. So one is manage your attitude. You get to choose your attitude, so you might not be able to change what's actually happened, but you get to choose your attitude. So this is where, you know, somebody who's been a victim of a serious crime or, you know, violation against their body, you know, you look at some people and they come out, they seem unscathed, but they have this immense strength and they go somewhere with it, you know, and it's like, it's not like the thing has never happened to them, but, you know, they seem to be managing really, really well. And then you have people who just lose themselves, lose their way, you know, they constantly feel wronged and harmed and hard done by. And again, you know, yes, they have had those things happen to them, but it's, again, we get to choose our attitude. So don't let things that happen in your life rob you of your future years. So, you know, the earthquake took last year from me, and it's not allowed to take this year. Yes, it's still the effects of it are very much there, and probably actually worse for many of us in Christchurch now, but the fact is that we do get to choose our attitudes. Every day above ground is a great day because there are many people who aren't. again, hopefully this is resonating with you. I know it's a little bit strong. So the second thing is, you know, work 100% on what you can change, what you can do things about. And so I was probably realistically working 100% on some things that were headbanging, so therefore I was just pushing against a brick wall with 100% of my effort when I could have actually used that 100% effort in a different area. One is looking after yourself. You know, at the end of any traumatic experience or stress for anybody, whether it's your relationship breakup, a loss of a child, a loss of a partner, a loss of a home, you know, loss of a job, whatever it is, you know, we still get to choose. So once you've chose your attitude, then you need to decide, what am I going to work towards? And, you know, 100% push towards what it is that you want. So don't put 100% into banging your head against a brick wall. Now, I also had a conversation with someone today, and I know they're on the call, so they'll relate to it, but one of the things I said is that, you know, you get to do this challenge. You don't have to do it. You get to do it. So one of the sayings that somebody said to me once is, my problem is somebody else's dream. So think about that. You know, when you're having a challenging time, whether it be choosing what you're going to have, when you're out, you know, getting your butt out the door and doing some exercise, you get to do this. You know, you don't have to do it. You can choose to lay in bed. You can choose to eat the donut or whatever it is that you're thinking that you want to. I know that's an extreme, but I'm just throwing it out there. But you actually get to do this. You don't have to do it at any time. So develop maybe a little tagline that you could say in your mind. It might be, there's no going back, or not negotiable, whatever it takes. Now, just before I come on the call, I remembered a video I had seen a few years ago, and I'm 100% sure it was called Whatever It Takes. A woman has this undying resolve that she is going to achieve what she sets out. And I watched this video, and it's actually really incredible, and it's actually awesome. So I will find it, and I will put it in the Facebook page, and I will also send it out on next week's weight email. So I'll find that link to that video and you can watch it, because it was pretty incredible. But like I say, you do get to do this. You know, pick your little saying that's going to help motivate you, whether it's no going back, not negotiable, whatever it takes. You know, Nike has Just Do It. Think of something that will help you get through. One of the things that I used to do was, I really admire Suzanne Prentice, and we have had her on a call. In fact, I might try and find the archive of that call as well. I'll just write that down and actually send that out as a link for people to listen to. But I really admire Suzanne Prentice. You know, she went from massively overweight, but more concerning than her weight was her health. It was pretty bad, and she was you know, having all sorts of issues and, you know, almost blacking out and all sorts of things. So anyway, she completely turned her life around, and she did it in such a way that, you know, you can tell she's an all-or-nothing personality, which can work for you or against you. Be careful of that. But what she did was end up trimming right down and going into a bodybuilding or a body sculpting competition. So her story is pretty fantastic. Now, she has a book, but it's out of print, but you might be able to get it in the library. And I think it's called One Day at a Time, and I have read it. So, you know, if you're looking for material to motivate or inspire you, think about those sorts of things. Looking for little video clips on YouTube that tell great stories. You know, looking for books that will actually support you. We are thinking about it constantly when we're wanting to lose weight, and sometimes it can be all-consuming. So why not consume yourself with great positive stuff that you're putting in? Again, I said, you know, today to this person, the thing is that it takes as much energy not to do the program as it does to do the program. So it's just about choosing which path you're going to go on. And nobody's going to be 100% all the time. That's not what life is about. But, you know, on the challenge, if you aim for 99%, and every time I have a win, when I set myself something that requires me to be a little bit more disciplined or a little bit more focused, that's another success that I stack on myself. So, you know, I'm not going to stack up failures, because it just seems such a negative self-talk to ourselves. It allows us to beat ourselves up. If you, you know, have a falling off and do, you know, eat the things that aren't on your food list at lunch, it doesn't mean that you're spiraling into some terrible place that you can't get out of. It just means, hey, you know, that's what happened on that meal. Move on. At dinner time, I'm going to be better. One of the things, other things I talked about today was, you know, perhaps writing your food diary, and you all really, for the 16 weeks, should be writing a food diary, and we know this, and we know that it gets monotonous, especially when you start, you know, if you start having successes, you start thinking, well, I don't need to do that. But write your food diary, plan it in advance, don't just write it as you have it, plan it in advance, and then maybe in red pen, if you don't have what you were, write your actual and maybe blue is matching. And then just see through the week how much is matching up. Annie's just made an offer. She said, if anyone wants the One Day at a Time by Suzanne Prentice, she's got it and she's happy to pass it on for no cost. Is that to give or loan, Annie? Just let me know. I'm sure someone would love to read that. That is a great book. My, unfortunately, I lost most of my books in the earthquake, so I just go by memory now. Alrighty, so we've discussed developing maybe a little tagline for yourself that will remind you, you know, of what you're doing and how you're going. Some people put a rubber band around their wrist and they might just, you know, ping their wrist every now and then if they're having a negative response, you know, a self-talk ping. And then throughout the day, if you're doing that, you'll realize, gosh, you know, I'm putting all this unnecessary stress on myself by talking to myself negatively. You've got to be your own best friend. And also find people who are going to support you, not drag you down. Thanks, Annie. Annie's more than happy to give and pass that book on. So if anyone wants to let me know, and if no one on the call wants it tonight, Annie, I'll put it out in the newsletter. That's very kind of you. So, again, you know, think about what it is that you can do, one, to minimise your stress, and two, to actually support and build yourself up. You know, I went for a walk with somebody last night. Now, this person, we only ever exercise together. That's our relationship. We worked together 20, 30 years ago, and when she saw on my Facebook page that I was looking for someone to swim with, you know, every single day for like 90 days, and that's a hard ask for people. And so I was looking for anybody who'd swim because I was open water swimming. You're not supposed to swim on your own out there. You know, she put her hand up, and it's been a perfect relationship because we don't worry about doing the coffee things or the going out socialising. What our relationship is exercising. So last night, you know, I was going to be home early for a change, and I texted her and said, hey, how about a walk? So, you know, to be able to have someone to walk in the dark with is a big thing too, because many of us want to exercise at night, and, you know, being dark because it's winter actually stops us. So again, you can build up all the stress about, oh, you know, I'm not getting out and I'm not exercising. So find ways that you can do it. Alrighty. Any questions, anything anybody wants me to cover before I move on to the next part? Alright, so another suggestion. Oh yes, so excuse me, I'm going to have a cough. Janine said she'd love to borrow that book, Annie, so what I'll do is if you're okay, Janine, I'll pass Annie your address to Annie, and she can pop it in the post to you. That is incredible. Thanks so much. Great when something like that happens. So another thing I was going to suggest is, you know, write a note to yourself every morning. Keep a little pile of post-it notes next to the bed, and when you wake up in the morning, think, you know, what is it that I want to get out of this day? Or what, you know, what one thing do I want to be hugely successful today? And it might be just drinking your lemon and water. It might just be, you know, it might just be, you know what, Annie, there's a couple of other people asking for that book. How would you feel if you sent it in and then we just, you know, we started sending it out to people who wanted to borrow it? Because it's out of print, I don't think that we're doing Suzanne out of any money or, you know, being unfair to her by not purchasing, and maybe we could use that to send out because then everybody can get a turn at it. If that's okay, let me know. And so, Annie, if you want to send it in, those people that have asked for the book, if you want to email me, I'll make sure that whoever comes in first, which is Janine, and then anyone else after that, I'll make sure it goes there if you're okay with it, Annie. So that's great. So, yeah, the post-it note. Write a note to yourself every morning about what it is that you want to be successful. Now, I think it's a really good idea to write it twice, and stick one on your steering wheel if you're driving to work somewhere, and then put one where you're going to see it all the time. You might want to have it on the mirror every morning, and it might be the same thing for a week that you want to focus on. So that you wake up, you read it and see it. You know, it's really good to cement it in your mind, because sometimes, again, if we're really stressed and we're busy, we can forget ourselves within the equation of what's going on in a day. So you get up before you realise that, you know, we had one person who would do perfectly all week, and then she would be in a certain environment and she would just automatically eat what was there. The thing was, she was doing so well for the rest of the week that she wasn't putting on weight, but she knew it was a concern because she wasn't thinking it was automatic pilot thing. So, you know, think about what you can do. And so hers might be to have had a post-it note on the mirror before she went out on her steering wheel on that night, just to remind her, you know, be focused, be in control, be mindful, whatever it is that you want. Janine's ordered it from the local library, so that's great, so I'll pass it on to the next person. Wendy from Auckland says, I'm not keen on walking in the dark in my area, so I've changed my gym so I can exercise at night. My gym is open 5 a.m. to 9, so there's no excuses. And that's awesome. And Wendy, you know, I'm back at the gym every morning. And the thing too is, you know, a great thing to do is when you're starting to get back into the habit of the gym, if that's what you want to do, is just turn up. You know, have no expectation on yourself to flog yourself. Just think, you know, if it's 5 mornings a week that you want to go, hey, on the mornings that I have a trainer or I'm going to do something, I'm going to do something. But on the other mornings, I'm just going to turn up and I'm going to walk on the treadmill or I'm going to bike on the bike. So you get in the habit of actually turning up and being there. The minute you start going, oh, I'll roll over and go back to sleep, or the house is a mess, I need to do that, or I've got too much work, or the emails need checking, that's you're robbing yourself and you're also adding to stress because you get to the end of the day and you actually run out of day to exercise. So, you know, like Wendy in Auckland, who doesn't like to exercise in the dark, especially alone, which is a good idea not to, you know, you would find if your gym shuts at 6 and you're getting home at 7, you've actually run out of day to exercise. So, you know, think about that. Annie says that sounds cool. She'll send that can be officially in the library. So that's fantastic. Thanks for that. Alrighty. So we've got just on 10 minutes left. Please let me know if you want anything to ask me anything or comment or share any successes or wins. There's been some pretty significant weight losses this week, and of course now that we're getting a few weeks into it, people are stacking up some quite double-digit numbers now. Don't worry if you're not there. The thing is you focus forward and you do what you've got to do to get there each week. But remember, it's a health journey as well as a weight loss. So anyone can lose weight by any means, and that's not what we're aiming for. So we want you to keep eating the right amount of food, good quality, you know, fresh, whole foods, not packaged, which we all know that. So one of the other things I wanted to talk about is, you know, when we look at people who are naturally slim, you know, what is it that they do? And sometimes it would be a good idea to maybe just observe them and model yourself a little bit. But I think from observation, a slim person values their body. You know, your body has so much more to give if you work with it and treat it with respect. So by that I mean, you know, this morning when I was with my trainer, I was like, oh, why did I stop? Because the pain of starting again is quite sore. The thing is that, you know, if I'm going to respect myself, I'm going to keep turning up and I'm going to keep working with my body until it starts performing and doing the things that I want. So remember that. You know, people didn't, you know, the Olympic people and long-distance swimmers and, you know, anybody that you can think that does anything, they didn't just wake up one day and get out of bed and they're automatically great at it. They worked at it. So I'm not saying become an Olympic runner or a swimmer or anything like that, but just consistently turn up to do the thing that you want to do. One of the things I asked my swim trainer was when I decided to swim twice a day to get over my fear, because I realised it was time in the water. In 90 days of swimming twice a day might sound a lot to people, but, you know, some days I would make a millimetre of a gain, but every single day that I did that, I gained a little bit more. So, you know, we say inch by inch or foot by foot. Mine was millimetre by millimetre. But the thing is, you know, again, it stacked the success up for me. And yes, there were many days I wanted to give up, and I had every single reason. And like my trainer said to me, you know, you have more reasons than most people to not turn up to the swim. And he said, well, you know, what I admire about you and the reason why he turned up, and in fact, many times swam with me unpaid, you know, as a free swimming buddy, just because he admired my tenacity. So, you know, develop some of that. Decide one thing or something that you're going to do. You don't have to copy or mimic me, and I'm not suggesting that. You'll know where and what area and how and what form you should be doing something. You know, people who give up smoking, you know, they have to every day wake up and turn up and make that decision every morning, because the addiction of smoking is pulling them in so many different directions. It's a physical, a emotional, a mental, a chemical addiction. It's an addiction on so many levels. So, you know, people don't just go from a smoker to a non-smoker. They may stop the cigarettes overnight, but they've got a whole lot of process to go through. And every single day gets better and better and better, and you inch or millimetre or foot closer to what you want. Sharon said she's lost 5.4 kilos so far. That's awesome. But only 0.5 on the tummy. Is that normal? Everybody's bodies are different, and that's why we suggest you do the both measurements, because some people will have no weight loss 1 week and they'll have a massive stomach loss. So think about maybe, again, still some of the foods that you're eating, because some foods you know, tend to like to hang around our belly. And also, don't get hung up on the belly measurement as one form or the weight as one form, because it's in combination. So, you know, they'll both come down. And it may be that you lose weight off different places. I lose it from under my breast first. So when I put weight on, my breast and tummy sort of become one. And then as I lose weight, I have this massive reduction under my breast, and then it goes sort of down from there, so it looks like I suddenly get this, you know, this waist coming on. So, you know, don't underestimate all the good work you're doing. It's all in the progress, okay, and all of your sex successes. By feeding yourself good, healthy food, good thoughts, you know, great activity. So just think about that. Don't minimize what you're doing. Think about, what did I do right today? What went well? So when you hear yourself going, oh, you know, I did this, or I fell off this, or I didn't do that. You know, what did you do right today? What went well today? What didn't go so well, if you really want to ask yourself? And what works for me? What works for me? And maybe what is it that I haven't tried that I should be trying? Sharon says, I'm looking into Zumba in our town. If I find a class, I will go, even though it is out of my comfort zone. Perfect. One of the things I talk about with comfort zone is that, you know, magic happens just outside the comfort zone. So when we put ourselves just outside the comfort zone, magic happens. If we go too far outside our comfort zone, i.e. random Zumba class, you put yourself into what I call chaos, and then you'd retreat back into your comfort zone and never ever do it again. So think about that. Little small steps, but turning up and participating in something. And we've got ways that we can look after and protect ourselves when we do that. And we all know that, you know, if the back of the class makes you feel better, then that's where you go. You know, not if you want to dress sort of in muted tones so you don't stand up, but then, you know, do the things that support you. Alrighty. Thanks for sharing, guys. Anyone else want to comment on anything? Would be great. Anyone quietly sitting in the background who hasn't said hello? Because I see there's more people on the call than has said hello to me. So it would be great to, you know, hear who else is on there. Okay, so think about the other thing too, is that particularly for female, we want to make sure that we've got some strength and resistance training. Not only cardio, but make sure that you're doing things to actually, you know, help with raise your base metabolic rate. And, you know, muscle helps burn fat a lot better. So think about that. You know, strength training is very important for weight loss because muscle burns more calories, and we know that, but it also raises your basal metabolic rate. And if you look at people who are quite well-toned, they carry themselves differently. They've got a more upright carriage, they're more comfortable within their skin. So, you know, think about that. What are you doing? And it can be that you just make up some of your own, go on the internet, look on YouTube. Your gym boss is a great tool for that. You might want to set the reps up for 20 minutes, which is fixed when you do this. I do 8 and 10, but you might want to set your timers on 20 and 30 or 10 and 30, whatever you think you can do. And then how many reps of that? So 60 reps of 8 and 12 is 20 minutes. So, you know, you just add it together and how many reps in a minute. Hopefully that makes sense. You can Google it because it's easy to find. But, you know, think about the gym boss, and it might be that you do 20 minutes of your own circuit at home or your own interval training anywhere, at home, in the office. We've got stairs here, so sometimes I'll duck out and go up and down the stairs a few times. You might put the timer and have a hallway and race up and down the hallway, and then on the other set, walk on the spot, then do, you know, make up some exercises that you're doing. For a 20-minute walk outside, and I've talked about this before, but honestly, if you use that gym boss 5 days a week for a good 20-minute walk, and you set it on 8 seconds and 12 seconds, the 8 you walk at a fast speed and 12 normal, 8 fast, 12 normal, 8 fast, 12 normal, and you put it on vibrate so people aren't staring at you, but that will kick your calorie burning through the roof. Plus, you'll actually feel really energized afterwards. You'll be like, whew, you know, I'm glad I got off the chair or out of the office or out of my car for that. It's pretty awesome. Find someone to walk with as well. And if you've got on vibrate, they just follow your cue. If you're wanting to run, it's a great way to learn to run. So 8 seconds you'll run, 12 seconds you'll walk. 8 seconds you'll run, 12 seconds you'll walk. And what it does is it raises your heart rate enough that when you have your 12-second rest, you're gaining your breath and you're getting under control, but your heart rate doesn't get time to drop down too low, so then it's up again. So it's a great fat-burning activity. It's a great all-round improvement, so your fitness level will improve a lot faster. And I've said it before, it was designed for elite athletes, so give it a go. Even if you commit to 3 times a week, that would be fantastic. And 3, you will find you get pretty tired because it is pretty intense. Sharon says, I know my weight loss is showing up in my face. I've been told that a few times. That makes me happy. That is awesome. It's very incredible. Tracy says, hi, Phyllis. I'm quietly listening to Newbie from Palmy. I love hearing your heart. Thank you so much. And she says, thank you so much for your honesty. Thanks. The only way I know to be is truthful, and sometimes people find that a little bit challenging. But you know what? we want you to be real, and we want you to do, you know, the best challenge that you can do for you. And we're all different personalities. We have all different ways of handling things. Occasionally I might deal with somebody who gets upset about something, and that is fine, you know. Just, you know, it's again reminding us to, I talk about, you know, being a, raising your standards, being a higher person. And I don't get it right all the time either. I make mistakes and I stuff up, but, you know, that's the reality of life, isn't it? So thank you for that comment. That was really nice and timing was perfect. So think about also, I'm just flicking through because I've made notes in my book, but foods that don't satisfy you. Seriously, sugar does not satisfy us, because think about what it does to you. For some people, it'll trigger them to overeat. Some people, it'll make them really, really tired. You know, just think about how much you're putting in your body. I know some people have got to do it for reasons, but just be careful about it. The satiety index of sugar is just terrible. So, you know what's important is what satisfies you for longer. So, yeah, the mince and pumpkin lasagna might be a little bit harder to make, a little bit longer, but always have small individual portions to your size in your freezer, so that when you do get caught, you don't get caught munching on stuff that doesn't serve you. So think about, you know, did I eat because I was hungry? And make sure that, you know, you're getting enough water, because that's another signal that we miss, is are we actually hungry or not. So enjoying a healthy, balanced meal, which, you know, some people will call it a diet or whatever, but, you know, don't think at the end of the 16 weeks you're going to change back to, you know, some things that you've been eating before, because that's where it got you where you are today. So, you know, when you finish the challenge, you want you sort of aim for an 80-20, and 80% of the time you're going to be pretty focused on, you know, what you need to be doing, and 20% of the time you're going to be having a good time. And I don't know, sometimes you might feel a bit crappy afterwards, but, you know, you're aiming for it. So dealing with emotional hunger too, you know, understand what interrupts you, because that's often what it is. When you have an emotional eat, something has interrupted you, and it's interrupted you in such a way that it makes you feel unhappy or angry or challenged or sad. So think about it, because behaviour is based on our thinking, and thinking is based on our beliefs. So what do I believe around this? And when something happens, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm just going to use a really kind of stereotypical example, and I don't mean to, but when I'm talking, it's the quickest thing that comes to mind. But, you know, you might have an upset with your partner, your husband or your wife, and your automatic response is to go eat something. So just think about it. You know, what do I believe about that incident that led me to the thinking that I do, that I go do this? Because, you know, at the end of the day, the only person that's getting hurt is you. They're pretty okay, you know. So think about things that you're doing on the challenge that you want to keep up for life. So if you could design your perfect day, what would it be? And if your perfect day was getting up and, you know, meditating or exercising or cooking a great breakfast or whatever it is, you know, think about how you can keep this up for life. I've talked about this before. It's ironic that we do a better job of planning our 4 weeks holiday than we do on our, you know, our other can't even add 48 weeks of our life. So I'd rather see people plan their 48 weeks and just let their holidays happen, you know, because you'll still have a good time, whatever. And, you know, the things we do on holiday, we can bring into our life and have it all the time. Some people have, some people don't have great times on their holiday because they end up doing very, very little because they think they're exhausted and so they shouldn't. And then they come home and they regret their holiday because they've piled on weight. So challenge yourself to go on a holiday and actually come home lighter for the first time ever, because that's a great thing. You know, I went away with a group of 8 people once, and it was during my weight loss year. And I can't remember what I lost now, but it's on my blog. It was either 4 or something kilos like that over a 4-week period. Now, that might not sound a lot, but it was a lot when we were away on a cruise and doing all this stuff. So the cool thing about that was I was so empowered because everybody else put on 2 kilos. Look, I still had a couple of nights where I drank. I still went out for the dinners, but I exercised every morning and I exercised before dinner at night. So when everyone else was laying down having a wee snooze, I went and did some exercise, got back, had my shower, got dressed, met everyone for dinner, and felt fantastic. Energy gets energy. So while we're laying there and feeling tired, being, you know, not in motion creates us not to feel like it. So if we can get up and move, I'm not saying if you genuinely are worn out, like for me, at the end of the days, every day last week after my training, because my brain was pretty much on and I was also having a lot of weight things about the amount of stress that I was having just around living in Christchurch. I did go back home, and at night I did things that were chilled out, but I made sure I was up early in the morning, and I, you know, went off to my course, and I actually had a couple of swims when my body told me that, you know, I wasn't actually sick really. Alrighty, Melissa says, hi, Melissa here from Auckland, just completed my first week of the challenge and had a great workout, and I'm feeling so positive for the next 15 weeks. That is awesome. And that's, Melissa, about choosing attitude. So you get to choose it. You had a great first week. Why did you have a great first week? You had a great first week because you decided this is what you're going to get out of the challenge. So, you know, go for it. There are so many incredible weight loss stories that it's fantastic. Dave and I also need to announce tonight that we're also thinking of both of us having a break from the 112-day challenge. So June might possibly be the very last group that ever gets to do the 112-day challenge for the next 4 months, and you guys will be finishing during that period. So I seriously would say, you know, get as much as you can out of the program while you've got the opportunity. And remember, download every call because they're recorded, because they're yours for good. You know, you've got the pack, enjoy it. Do as much as you can with it. All right, I am going to finish up now because I've gone 5 minutes over nine. Let me know how you go during the week. Write me some great emails next Tuesday, or Hayley, whoever you like to send them to. I don't mind if it's myself or Hayley. But, you know, write from your heart, because it's a great place to come from. And just, you know, fill that page with what's been happening. And don't look externally for a massive response from me. Look for what you see on the page. Of course I'm going to respond. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you take control and you take over the journey, it's pretty awesome. Annie, glad to have you back. And I'm great to have the new challenges on board. I wasn't here last week to welcome some of you on. So it is your first week. But, yeah, enjoy. Have a great time, because it's 16 weeks is going to go past whether you do the program or not. And remember what I said, it takes as much energy not to do it as it does to do it, so you get to choose. Alrighty, have an incredible week, and I will catch you all later.